You know, the hymnal Ring Out the Message, which is also the title of the lesson, is an encouragement for Christians to proclaim the gospel with boldness and urgency. This lesson explores the biblical foundation of this teaching, emphasizing the responsibility entrusted to us, the urgency of the message, the blessings of obedience, and the cooperative process of salvation. The first point in the lesson is that Christians have the responsibility to proclaim. It's important to note why we must proclaim. The Bible says, "So as we were allowed of God," speaking to the apostles, "to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts," 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Even though in prison in Rome and awaiting trial, Paul still viewed his situation as an opportunity to represent Christ boldly. He said, "I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Ephesians 6:20. "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul told young Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Now, I've heard somebody paraphrase that as to preach the word when they like it, when they don't like it, when it's popular, when it's unpopular. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." 2 Timothy 4, 2-4. As Paul did, Christians carry God's message of reconciliation to the world. Followers of Christ have the responsibility to proclaim God's truth boldly and faithfully. The content of the message is rooted in the power of God's word, not in the thoughts and practices of men. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," Romans 1:16. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart," Hebrews 4:12. Spoken in the context of God's promises to Israel, in Isaiah 55:11, God provides a message of assurance about the power and effectiveness of His word. God said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The word of God has the power to convict, transform, and save, fulfilling God's purpose. Like Christ, Christians are a light of the world. The Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8:12. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Ephesians 5:8. As Christians, we reflect the light of Christ in a dark world, pointing others to God through our example. Understanding our responsibility, we must also recognize the urgency of the message, because life is brief and the opportunity for salvation is now. The return of Jesus is imminent, And every moment matters. And so we should be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalms 90 and verse 12. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4:14. Time is a precious resource that must be used wisely, focusing on eternal matters amidst the distractions of life. There is an urgency of the message because the harvest is ready. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." John 4:35. The harvest truly is plenteous and great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:37 and 38. Read also Luke 10 and verse 2. Jesus encourages his followers to see the urgency of bringing people into God's kingdom. There is an urgency of the message because today is the day of salvation. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul quotes from Isaiah 49:8, "For he saith, that is, God saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That's 2 Corinthians 6:2. "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Hebrews 3:7 and 8. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Isaiah 55:6. Salvation is available now, but the opportunity is fleeting. So we must act decisively in sharing the gospel. There is an urgency of the message because the Lord is coming. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Matthew 24:42. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." 1 Thessalonians 5:2. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5:10. Jesus calls believers to remain vigilant, always prepared to share his message because there is a judgment coming. The urgency of the gospel compels us to act now, using every opportunity to share the gospel. The brevity of life and the imminence of Christ's return reminds us that sharing the gospel is not only a privilege, but a pressing duty. The title of the lesson is "Ring Out the Message." We've considered responsibility to proclaim and urgency of the message. Now let's consider blessings of obedience. Obeying God's word in evangelism brings spiritual blessings and eternal rewards for both the messenger and the hearer. The Bible says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Psalms 119 and verse 2. "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Isaiah 1 and verse 19. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." John 14:21. Blessings of obedience includes joy in heaven. Jesus said, "Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Luke 15 and verse 7. "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Luke 15:10. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. Evangelism brings heavenly joy as sinners turn to God. Blessings of obedience includes bearing fruit. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." John 15 and verse 8. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Describing the life of a righteous person who delights in and meditates on God's law, the psalmist said, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalms 1 and verse 3. Bearing fruit glorifies God and confirms our discipleship. Obedience to God's word brings tangible and spiritual blessings both now and in eternity. When we ring out the message, we need to consider the cooperative process of salvation, which includes blending God's divine grace, mercy, the blood of Christ, and his word with man's responsibility of faith and obedience. Each part must harmonize for salvation to be realized. Some proclaim they want to be saved like the thief on the cross, but they fail to recognize a thief was not under the law of Christ as we are today. Read Hebrews 8:13, Romans 7:4. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Hebrews 9:16 and 17. Still, some want to be saved by faith only, failing to recognize that the Bible says, "Not by faith only," James 2:24. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble," James 2:19. And others want to be saved by grace alone, failing to recognize the different roles between God and man's responsibility to God. Notice with me God's role in salvation. The Bible says we are indeed saved by grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. Salvation is a gift of God's grace, not earned by works, but given freely to those who obey his teachings. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they, Acts 15 and verse 11. Grace extends to all through Jesus, offering salvation to Jew and Gentile alike. The Bible says we are saved by mercy, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3 and verse 5. God's mercy provides salvation by spiritual washing, which is baptism, and renewal through the teachings revealed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are saved by the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. The blood of Christ redeems believers, granting forgiveness and reconciliation with God. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Reads 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. The sacrificial death of Jesus was God's eternal plan for redemption of mankind. The Bible says we are saved by God's word. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, the first two verses. James said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. So how do we harmonize God's plan of salvation? God's instructions must be followed in their entirety without separation, subtraction, or addition. The Bible says, the sum of thy word is truth, Psalms 119 and verse 160. Paul said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, Acts 20:27. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar, Proverbs 30 and verse 6. When we do add or take away, we teach another gospel, which is accursed behavior. Read Galatians 1, 6-9. Speaking concerning the subject of marriage, Jesus said, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder or separate. Mark 10 and verse 9. Concerning any biblical subject, including God's plan of salvation, we want to be sure we carefully consider all of God's revelation on that subject. And be careful we don't take away that is unjoined or add. Revelations 22, 18 and 19. The cooperative process of salvation includes God's role, but it also includes man's responsibility in response to God's word. Peter spoke of that responsibility in Acts 2:40 when he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Regarding man's responsibility in his own salvation, notice that God has joined together faith and baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Belief and baptism are inseparable steps in God's plan of salvation. Regarding man's responsibility in his own salvation, notice that God has joined together repentance and baptism. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Repentance and baptism work together to grant forgiveness and the free gift of salvation, revealed by the Holy Spirit through God's eternal word. Regarding man's responsibility in his own salvation, notice that God has joined together confession and baptism. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:36 and 37. Hearing, believing, repentance, and confession of faith, followed by being baptized into Christ, completes man's initial response to God's plan of redemption. Then he or she must endure until the end, Matthew 24:13, or remain faithful, Revelations 2:10. All of this made possible because of God's grace, God's mercy, the blood of Christ, and God's powerful word. This lesson challenges us to boldly ring out the message with urgency, joy, and clarity, always pointing to God's plan of salvation. The harmony of these necessary elements calls for a wholehearted commitment to God's will. As messengers of this truth, we must ring out the message to all who will hear. As we go forth this week, let us commit to sharing the good news with our neighbors, our friends, and our family. Who in your life and mine needs to hear the gospel news? speak boldly. Live out your faith as a light to the world. And invite someone to learn about the hope we have in Christ Jesus. The lesson is yours. If you have a spiritual need, as always, the Lord invites, not man. But we do await to assist as those who are in need. Please come while together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Yeah.